Jessica.
And this is Claire.
And this, It'll Only Hurt a Little.
Today, we decided to give you guys a little bonus episode. And we are going to talk about our personal symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a list on my phone that I have had since like the beginning. So.
And I am significantly ill prepared.
Anyway, most of these, I'm sure, Claire can relate to. So we're just going to go down this super long list and talk about different things that we, as Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and then, you know, like domino effect into
all the things.
Virus, which then falls into postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, and so on and so on and so on and so on.
That really resonates with me.
I feel it
in my soul. Okay.
Okay.
Let's get started. Jessica, so, why don't you start? Yeah, because I'll be thinking about what I deal with while you explain your things, because I didn't write a single thing down.
Well, this is not like a prepared thing. This is just like for my doctors. I was like, this is what I'm having. we'll just discuss it.
Our mom has told us to do that over and over again, and Jessica actually did it, and I instead just mouth diarrhea on all my doctors what I feel and hope that they catch something.
If you can even get past my number two on the list symptom, brain fog.
So brain fog, hello. I literally, what did I say earlier that was like that? I asked Jessica if there are lungs in your vessels.
No, lungs in your veins.
Are there lungs?
You were like this whispering.
Are there lungs in your veins? And she was like, what?
No, but there are veins in your lungs.
Sometimes we just say things that don't make sense because our brain is on vacation.
Mm-hmm. A vacation.
From my problems. If we're big What About Bob fans. So if you caught that reference, we love you.
Yes. We feel you. Mm-hmm. Are really.
Yes.
Like, we're soul siblings. So brain fog. Oh, my gosh. I can't even tell you because I can't even find the words in my brain right now. But that is just, like, so hard. Like, I will forget people's names that I've known for a decade
forever.
Plus.
Yeah. Which, embarrassing.
I know. Like, set up like a plan, like if I'm with someone, like, hey, can you like introduce yourself to them, because I know them but you don't, but I don't know their name because I can't even remember their name. So that's usually what I do. But I feel like brain fog is something we all feel.
Absolutely. It's like, I feel like chronic illness or not, even like people with anxiety feel some serious brain fog. But chronic illness, anxiety aside, people feel brain fog all the time. When you're extra tired and need a little more caffeine, you might feel a little brain fog. But as a able-bodied person, imagine that day that you feel like you need a little caffeine and your brain's running a little bit behind. Imagine that times two every day of your life. And that's what we experience.
Yeah.
And it's really hard. It is, and it's sometimes really embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like when you tell your son to put peanut butter on the squirrel.
It's just my favorite. All time. It's my all-time favorite, like, word fart. Although now it's going to be lungs in your veins.
Are there lungs in your veins? Please answer me. If there are any cardiologists out there, please reply. Are there lungs in your veins? I need to know.
Okay. So another problem. Symptom is chest pain, heaviness, and sharp pains in your chest. Got those, Claire?
Absolutely. I mean, for sure. When you get that, like, sharp pain in your chest, and I'm like, oh my god, is this what death feels like? Am I?
Hello, darkness, my old friend. That's like how it feels.
It does. And it's like that moment where you're like, oh, is this a heart attack? Like, do I need to, do I need to call 911? Is somebody nearby
that, like, at least is going to see me and say something or call someone?
I literally called my mom.
Do I feel comfortable with them giving me mouth to mouth?
I literally called my mom last week and we were on the phone because I was in Target and I was just having one of those really bad days where you're super dizzy and I started getting these terrible chest pains and I was like, okay, like, I know what's happening. Stay calm. This is something I experience. This is normal for me. Not normal for others. Normal for me. And I was kind of like, okay, I'm talking to my mom on the phone. I was buying Noon, which if you use Noon, shout out to you. This is not Spawn. But if Noon, you want to, if you want to
sponsorship, we're here.
Hit us up. We would love to do a little sponsorship for you. But I was buying Noon because I was having a bad day and I was like, I need those extra electrolytes right now. I need that little power up. But I was having super bad chest pains and I was like looking around Target and I saw a lady in scrubs and I was like, thank God. I don't even care if she gives people injections for bigger lips. She will help. She is like a nurse at a
somewhere that wears scrubs.
At like a med spa. But she will help me. I was like, if I fall down right now, I need you to call her. But yeah, we definitely have those moments where you're like, oh my God, this hurts so bad and it feels so shocking. But you have to like remind yourself that this is not the first time I've experienced it.
Yeah.
And this is a symptom that other people that have what I have experience.
I get ones where, like, and some, I've looked this up and I can't remember the name of it right now, but it's like where it's actually your, okay, I'm super brain fogging, but it's like your, your chest cavity muscles or something. And it's this tightness around your whole chest, and I just feel like I can't even take deep breaths. Like, I'm taking these really shallow breaths, and if I take, like, a deeper breath, it starts, the sharp pain gets even worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible. I hate those. So, yeah, those are not fun, and I'm usually like, give me a second, guys. Just wait. Hang on. And I'm, like, trying to get through it.
Just need a minute to, like, catch my breath.
And at this point, my kids are just like,
oh, this is what she does.
yeah. Okay, we're just going to wait to stand here to make sure she's okay, but also not really shocked by it anymore. This one was really hard for me because I was not even prepared for this, but hair loss.
Yeah.
I can't even complain because I have so much hair already, and so, like, going to the hairdresser, it was no matter what, people always commented on the amount of hair that I had. But when I got sick, it didn't take very long after I initially got sick for me to start losing just chunks and chunks of hair.
Yeah.
So that was really hard for me.
I don't personally experience that, but I can imagine that would be really hard.
Yeah, it was just really shocking. Claire's over here fanning herself, so let's talk about body temperature regulation.
I know. Jessica's wearing, like, a long-sleeve shirt, and I'm wearing a short-sleeve shirt.
My hair is down on my neck.
My hair is up, and I am sweating right now.
And it's the same temperature in the same room for both of us. So.
Yeah, and we've it's warm in here, but it's not, like, hot. Like, it's pouring rain and cold outside. And I am sweating. Like, I cannot. I don't know. I call it hot flashes.
Yes, for sure.
I just can't maintain a normal temperature all the time. It's sometimes hard for my body to regulate. And so I definitely am, like, right now having a hot flash. But there's other times where, like I say I'm having a hot flash right now. My feet are, like, ice cubes.
Yeah.
And my fingertips are ice cubes.
Yeah.
But that's just our norm.
It's
just our norm.
I do not like the summer because, like, where we live gets really hot. And so, oh my gosh, I feel like it makes me feel so heavy when I'm so hot like that.
Yeah.
My body just can't. I have to, like, up my medication and everything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just the controlling body temperature is off the charts and not working. I cannot wait for menopause. It's gonna be so
it's gonna be so fun. At least we'll be prepared.
I don't know. I don't know. I think it just is going to get worse and it's going to be
who knows
just, like,
how
so
our body's going
to
like...
However, I do have to mention, guys, Ember Wave, if you haven't heard of one, they have significantly helped me get through the summer for sure. But I haven't, like, really needed it in the winter because I just don't go out when it's freezing or I wear coats a lot. Like, I'm a coat person. This one's the next on my list. And this one's, like, so fun and not gross at all. Let's talk about our gastro.
Ooh, let's talk about diarrhea.
Yes. And constipation and bloating.
Oh, yeah.
And the yo-yo of that. Up and down. It's back and really forth. Round and round.
It's like you wake up in the morning, diarrhea everywhere. Later in the day.
Everywhere.
Later in the day, you feel like you have a rock in your stomach. You don't shit for 5 days.
Oh, my God. Literally. That's how it goes. Good luck. Have fun.
Yeah, it's really a good time.
I did, like, a full body cleanse the other day because I had a lot of cheese. It's, like, the one dairy I just can't help myself. And
she has an addiction.
I do. And I didn't have any of my pills that day, but I was like, I don't care because cheese is so good. And so, like, you know, a few hours later, super bloated. That was really fun. But then I woke up at, like, 4 a.m. and I was like, oh, okay, we're just going to get rid of everything, like, right now. No, wait, 30 minutes. No, all morning, the rest of that morning, I was, like, up, like, my stomach pains and, like, just shitting my brains out.
So that's a fun thing that we have to deal with.
Yeah.
Coat hanger pain.
Another one on my list.
Okay, talk to me about it.
Okay, so, like, the coat hanger. Imagine, like, the shape of the coat hanger.
Yes.
But, like, on your body where you would put the coat hanger. So, like, your shoulders and your neck and that kind of pain.
Yes, which is torturous. If you've had neck pain, you know the terrible feeling. We constantly have neck and shoulder pain. It's pretty much something that just doesn't go away for us. We wake up in pain. We wake up stiff.
If anyone out there knows why you also, like, get that bobblehead, like, your neck just feels like it cannot support your head. Like, maybe your brain is super big and heavy and smart.
it feels like your neck is really weak.
Like, why?
It feels like your skull is, like, 1,000 pounds. We always talk about it, like, you know, when people, like, have a neck injury and they wear those, like, soft neck supports, we're always like, it would be amazing if we could just wear those all the time.
Yeah.
Just so that something other than our neck could hold up our heads. Because
yeah, it's so, if someone knows why that happens that has, like, EDS, please DM us. We need to know because this seems to be one of the, like,
a good time.
No, and it just seems to be, like, one of those things on the list where if I'm not having it that day and I have a doctor's appointment, I don't even think about it.
Yeah.
So then I keep forgetting to say something. And I feel like it's not significant enough to
you just get used to it, too. That you're like, oh, this is just something
I don't know.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it's definitely intense. And it causes terrible migraines, which is another terrible side effect. It causes, like, the worst migraines that, like, start right at the base of your skull. And, like, shoot up and down. And it's really not a good time. Get, like, literally my neck and shoulders are always constantly, like, rock hard. I've literally, Jessica, lucky girl, got to use me as a guinea pig because we went to the pain clinic.
Ew, oh my God, the pain management clinic.
The pain management clinic.
I mean, I personally haven't had a good experience, like, neither with pain management stuff, but if other people have, that's awesome, and I'm happy for you.
no shade there. Yeah, no. So we both went to the pain management clinic and,
at the same time they were like, we want to do this injection thing. And I was like, Claire, you do it first for me.
They offered this god awful treatment that I don't recommend. because I can't imagine it being nice for anybody. I was sobbing, sweating because I was in so much pain. Like, I literally was, like, dripping sweat.
So you're, like, laying face down on the table because I remember mom took a picture and sent it.
My mom was literally crying at the end because it was so dramatic watching me do it. But you lay on the bed. They literally had to, like, practically strap me down because I was, it was just so much.
It's giving me neck and shoulder tension.
Yeah, it was just so painful that I couldn't handle it. But they pretty much go up and down your neck and shoulders, all the way up to your brain, and they inject you.
Not your brain.
Not your brain. Up to your skull, sorry. And so they inject you with a mixture of some sort of cocktail.
It's like a lidocaine injection.
It's lidocaine plus something else. Can't tell you what that is, but you can Google it.
Give it a goog.
It's some sort of lidocaine and something else. It burns and it causes shooting pain all the way down your legs. It is not a good time. I left there feeling like I couldn't move my neck at all, and I had a migraine for like 3 days after, and it caused only pain and no helpfulness. So that was a good experience, and guess what? I still have neck pain. So, you know,
from our experience, or your experience,
from my experience,
and I then canceled my appointment. Yeah, I was like, Jessica was forget like, it. No,
Jessica was like, no. Oh, is that bad for her? Never mind. Yeah. So nice for her because she got to not experience that. But yeah, so I don't know. I feel like we've tried everything in the book when it comes to, clothes hanger pain and
clothes hanger.
What is it called?
Coat hanger.
Coat hanger pain.
You hang clothes on a hanger. Yeah. Yeah, your lidocaine patches are helpful.
Yeah, I use lidocaine patches, which is really great.
Naltrexone was the pain receptor medication. Mm-hmm. Are you still using that?
No, I did it for a while, and it did help. It and our dad's actually on it too. He's on it for migraines. It blocks pain receptors.
It's typically used actually for certain addictions,
mm-hmm. Narcotic addictions,
mm-hmm. And alcohol as well, and it basically blocks like that joy receptor that you would get from getting high or drunk, so you cannot drink when you're on it. And I initially was the first person to take it, and it for sure helped with my constant chronic every single day headache that turned into a migraine. So it helped with that, but it also like
it made me really sick.
It did. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for me, it like made my family like look at me and just be like, what is, like, I was like a zombie, like nothing. Yeah. Made me, it was literally like a
it's like a receptor, depressant,
blocked like the receptor of like joy, anger, like anything. Like, I had like,
for me it made me super nauseous, so that's why I stopped taking it. And as soon as I stopped taking it, my nausea went away. But for me, it was like an everyday nausea. It was just made me feel terrible. But it did help with my migraines. And what's interesting about it is it subsided my migraines a lot for, like, even after I took it, months after. But now I'm back on my bullshit. I have migraines every day.
I know. I should actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I might reconsider, like, trying, like, a little like on and off of it.
Yeah.
I have a an appointment with my chronic fatigue specialist soon, and maybe I'll ask him about that. But when it comes to fatigue also, they have started like the clinic that I go to is one of the clinics that's doing a lot of studies on ME CFS, and one of the things that they are working, or well, that they're doing a study on is microdosing Abilify. Mm-hmm. And so I did the microdosing Abilify for the fatigue. Unfortunately for me with that particular medication, like, I literally was to a point where I couldn't sleep. Like, I would sleep, like, 5 hours a night.
She was, like...
And then I would be up at, like, 4 a.m.,
like, it was like she was on, like, Adderall or something. Like, she...
But I could feel I was, like, tired. Like, I knew.
It's like when you're, like, so exhausted, but you can't... Like, no matter what you do, you can't go to sleep. Like...
Yeah. So, it, like, for... And then I would, like... I was going to... It was, like, months of, like, okay, well, maybe if I take it 4 times a week or 3 times a week or 2 times a week and then 1 time a week, and it was just, like, no. Yeah. Either way, whatever it was doing to my brain and my body, I could not sleep. Mm-hmm. It was terrible. But the fatigue is still real, for sure. And there. But it just, for me, that wasn't the answer. Although I know some people, it has really significantly helped them. That's my fatigue experience. I'm going to ask him, though, if maybe I should, if there's, like, any naltrexone on and off, because my headaches have been, since I got my vaccine, I have, like, consistently had a headache and felt even more exhausted. And I'm not saying don't get your vaccine, because you need to ask your doctor and, you know, figure out if that's appropriate for you, which we both did, and the benefits outweighed, you know, whatever. So, but I've just, like, felt worse since then, just, like, headaches and stuff, and super tired. Mm-hmm. But it's only been a couple weeks, so.
Yeah.
Muscle weakness.
I've actually been really bad this week. I literally came into work on Wednesday, 7 a.m. It's just me and G there. And we were installing a summer pool party themed display. Mm-hmm. And I lift heavy things all day, every day, which is honestly amazing, being that I am the weakest person you've ever met.
don't work out.
And I would rather die than work out. And that's all. but I was on the ladder and I was trying to put a shelf up and I picked up the drill, which the drill probably weighs like a steady 2 pounds. And I immediately dropped it on the floor.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did. Really? my arm went to jello and I dropped the, and she was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "I don't know, like, my arm's not working."
I'm so sorry.
And
I'm
she
so
was sorry. Like, "It's okay, I'll do it."
Yeah. So I have a really, I mean, this is not, this is more related to, like, neuropathy and, like, tingling and numbness in your hands and feet, that kind of stuff, for people that are trying to figure out what is happening. So I have this really funny story. And
sounds hilarious.
My daughter did not want me to share this, but I'm going to. So I'm going, like, up and down the stairs for I don't even know what one morning, and, like, everyone else is asleep. It was, like, super early. And I'm, like, coming downstairs, and mind you, this is not the first time nor the second time, maybe, like, the third or fourth time that this has happened. So I'm, like, coming down the stairs, not even at, like, a high speed, but now I have to walk up and down them very slowly and carefully because of the
nerve damage
in my feet. And so,
which, by the way, is from mono.
Yeah.
What yes. do you call it? What's it called?
Epstein-Barr virus?
EBV. It's from chronic EBV.
So and for and for me, it went to my brain, unfortunately. And right. So
if you have EBV and you had mono in the past and you have tingling fingers or freezing cold feet. And, like,
symptoms
feet,
that, like, just have not gone away since then.
It's probably EBV.
Yeah, you should look into it.
Okay,
anyways.
Continue your story because this is fantastic.
So I'm going down the stairs, right? I'm probably, like, 5 steps away from the bottom of the staircase, and all of a sudden, like, I don't know if I, like, slipped, or it was early, so I couldn't have been going that fast. And seriously,
we're pretty slow in the morning.
Yeah. So I, like, slipped. I think I just, like, my foot couldn't feel it, and I thought I was going to the step and I missed it. Mm-hmm. And I slipped and I fall, and it, like, it was like slow-mo, like, it was the slow-mo, like whoop, your feet go up and your head goes back and your butt hits, and it was like boom, boom, boom. And it was obviously, like, loud, and it's kind of a blur for me, but it was obviously loud enough that it, like, woke up everyone in my house. And I don't know if I let out, like, a,
what? You're like,
I'm sure I did that afterwards. And I'm, like, laying there on my back and I'm like, And I'm like, so sad. My eyes are closed and I'm like, I can't move. Oh my gosh. And like, I finally, like, everyone comes running and like, they're like, oh my gosh, are you okay? What can we do? And I'm laying there with my eyes closed and finally, like, the pain subsides enough for me to, like, just open my eyes a little bit. And there are, like, three naked humans standing over my body. That story was really interesting. But numbness and muscle weakness and
It's real.
It's seriously. Yeah. It was not good. And then another time I fell down the stairs, like,
Jessica's bad at stairs.
Yeah, I really hate having a two-story house. I'm so over it. I fell and like my toe got caught on like this like ledge as I fell and like it totally broke my toe.
Oh yeah,
which you can't do anything about.
You can,
it's ridiculous,
tie them together.
Yeah, which I did, but like that was, it was like, yeah, seriously, like, unless, there's nothing, can you give me a boot here? Help me,
just like, or wanna, maybe one of those things that goes like up the staircase and you sit on. That's what you need.
I just need to not have a two-story house anymore. Does anybody want to buy a two-story house?
It's very cute, very charming.
Yes.
It has nice real wood floors.
Mm-hmm. Lots of character. Somebody. Okay. Dizziness and fainting spells.
Oh my god, the stories are endless. So if you have dizziness and fainting spells, don't reach to the bottom shelf at the store. If there are beans on the bottom shelf of your grocery store, just forget it. You're not having beans tonight.
No beans for you.
Yeah, no. It's just like every time you want to set up, every time you want to crouch down, just like forget it. Like
cleaning up anything.
No,
it's the worst.
It's literally, if I drop something or if like there's something down low, I'll just like look at my mom and she's like, oh, I got it.
I feel like I've gotten really good at, like, you know, like, in Legally Blonde, where, like, they do, like, you bend cannot do, like, the bend and snap. Yeah. No, for sure. It's more like this slow, like, squat and, like, reach, but keep your head up and, like, reach and then slowly. It's like the bend snap, but it's, like, a squat.
You know, I've been really good at just picking things up with my toes.
I can do that, too.
Bringing it up to your, to a place where you don't have to bend down at all. But yeah, no, it is a struggle. It is so hard. It's not a good time. And it's a constant having to remember, like, oh, right, my body does not know how to circulate blood. My body does not know how to circulate blood correctly. So it is crucial that I try not to lean down at any point, which is a hard thing to do, honestly. One thing that's nice is that I have an amazing dog that comes with me everywhere I need to go, and she's a golden retriever, and she's very helpful because I will literally brace myself with her. I will put all my weight on this poor golden, but she's very nice and sweet, and she helps me. But also, just having, like, another human around to be like, can you get that for me?
Yeah.
If I get it, I'll faint. Yeah. And we've definitely had some, like, funny experiences, too, where it's, like, you just kind of have to laugh at yourself. Where, like, you know, this is something I have to deal with every day, all day. So, if I faint at my doctor's office and he says, like, I one time fainted at my doctor's office and we have an amazing neurologist who is actually happens to be hilarious. And I fainted. And
I don't even think he means to be hilarious.
I don't think so either. I think he's just Russian.
Yes.
But I fainted in front of him. And when I came to, I was laying down flat on the bed and he was standing over me and he said, oh, almost didn't catch you there. And I was like, oh, that was kind of Irish. I'd like to say he's not Irish.
He's Syrian.
But, yeah, he was like,
oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Not you. Oh, get out of here.
Talking to you. But, yeah.
Stop.
I came to, and he was just like, almost didn't catch you there. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, at that point, I was, like, dripping sweat. And
yeah, I feel like the dizziness and fainting is, like, one of the symptoms that has, like, kind of forced me to advocate more for myself. Like, yeah. I've been in public in a store and just been like, okay, I need to sit. Where is there? And with COVID, I was actually out one time and there was nowhere to sit. And I was really like.
We're talking to you, Nordstrom.
Yeah. Nordstrom. Ridiculous. I called afterwards. So I had to go in the dressing room. It was the only place where they had somewhere to sit. And
because they used to have like,
yeah, but with COVID, they got rid of all the benches, and it was like, oh my, so I actually called. And
if you sit down, you will get COVID,
yeah.
It's like Mean Girls, that's like that scene where they're talking about sex ed, and he's like, if you look at a boy, you will get pregnant and you will die,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I feel like it also, like, you have to advocate because you need something then, and it's scary. Are you sweaty?
I'm so hot.
If anyone has a really good hypoallergenic deodorant situation they can recommend, Claire needs help.
I have tried everything on the market. I've tried Native. I like Native. I think it's a great brand. It's a great idea, but it gives me rashes. I've tried, like, every natural deodorant known to man. I've gone to all lengths, and either I get a rash or I smell god-awful. So,
an alternative option or good recommendation.
The thing is, I don't want to smell like I work at Whole Foods, but I also, like, I'd rather smell like something nice, like coconut. Or like, I don't know, like my signature scent for all you 90s lovers. I still wear this to this day because I can't.
Axe?
What?
Axe?
No, oh my God. I tried Axe, it burnt me. But my signature scent that I have been wearing since I was in like elementary school is Pink Sugar, which they don't sell unless you go to TJ Maxx and buy one that was actually made in 2003
and recalled.
And I still wear it. I don't even care that it went bad in 2004. It's a struggle because mast cell activation disorder, mm-hmm. Just makes you allergic to whatever your body feels like. Like, I can wear deodorant for like months and then all of a sudden my body will be like, hey, you know what we should do today?
Not wear that anymore.
We should just make your armpits as big as a balloon, just for fun. Yeah. Just to see what happens. Yeah. Make you feel like you have straight fire on your body. Mm-hmm. That would be fun.
Out of like, oh, all of a sudden I can't eat this food. And yeah. Oh, no, I can't have that food.
I used to love kiwis forever. Like, I would eat kiwis all the time. And then one day I ate a kiwi and my mouth and throat was itchy and I felt like I was dying. It's just like one of those things where your body is just like, I just think that I am gonna.
We're done with that.
I think I'm done with
I really hate this symptom. Oh, it's more just like annoying. I
think
guess
we
I
hate
should,
all the symptoms.
Well, yeah, we hate all the symptoms. This one's just like super annoying. Like either the ear ringing or the pulsating in your ear.
Oh, yeah, tinnitus.
It's so obnoxious. And yeah. It's just like, I one day was like, oh my gosh, I have this ringing in my ear and it's like so annoying. And someone was like, oh yeah, I get that too. And I'm like, no, you don't. Like, you do not get this too. Like, shut your mouth. Oh, I have a good one. I recently was saying something about like cold feet. This person will know who I'm talking about. And they were like, oh, and I never get bothered by people. Usually I just am like, whatever, you have no idea, but whatever. I'm not going to, like, call you out on it. And if you call someone out on it, like, sure, that's fine for you. I just don't, I just,
just
am,
trying
like,
not to
trying to keep my anxiety
today.
Level super low. So they were like, yeah, I get cold feet too. That really sucks. I hate when my feet get cold. And I'm like, no, like, you don't.
No, my toenails fall off.
Literally, they fall off. And my feet are blue or clear or
have you ever seen that movie Sunny with a Chance of Meatballs? Because imagine you have those spray on shoes, but instead of spray on shoes, it's your entire foot.
Yes.
And they're just sparkly and clear like Edward Collins.
Oh, yes, exactly. Literally, like, Anyway, so, I mean, just know that if you're someone out there that has a friend with chronic illness and you, maybe you don't even know they have a chronic illness, but if someone says, like, oh, I'm so this or that or whatever, maybe you should just, you know, instead of saying, like, oh, I've had that too, it's the worst, you could say, like, is there anything that I could do to help you, or have you, you know, is there anything that helps you that I could get for you?
Yeah.
Because you don't always know how it feels.
And really, a lot of the time, I know I feel like this, but sometimes you just, like, you get so many people giving you, like,
unsolicited advice.
Like, have you tried this before? Like, yes, I've tried everything. Do you think I haven't tried everything? I've tried everything. I've researched. I've asked doctors.
I've listened to podcasts.
I've watched YouTube videos. Like, I have done everything.
The blogs, the vlogs.
You're... unsolicited advice is not needed here and not wanted here, so please, like, just all you can do is support.
And nothing against any religion, we are so supportive of everyone, but just so you know, you cannot pray away the day. Oh, one of the symptoms I had that was, like, the most weird, and I would, like, wake up, this was before I had my diagnosis, but I was, like, searching for it, and I would, like, wake up in the middle of the night, and then I would be searching the house because I could smell smoke. Clearly.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I could smell.
You know what? That's something that people who have had COVID are experiencing now, and it has a name. Hold on. It's called something.
You look it up, I will tell you. So, I would smell smoke. Like, that was one of the symptoms I told our neurologist when I had my first appointment. Like, I keep smelling, or maybe he even asked me, and I was like, yes. Yes, he had checked my reflexes, and then he asked me, like, do you smell weird smells? And I was like, oh my gosh, I would be waking up in the middle of the night searching for a fire because I could smell a fire. And then I had this awful also smell that was like this super funk smell that I was like, what is that gross funk smell? And I don't even know, like, what it I can't even explain the smell, but it was just like this super gross funky smell that I would also get occasionally, and, like, mm-hmm. It was just so weird to be, like, looking around like I'm in a different place, like, what is it, me? did I fart and I didn't know?
Okay, so this is called dysosmia, and it's something that a lot of people who had COVID or have COVID are experiencing, and it's pretty much I think it's a neurological thing. It has to do with your olfactory senses. And pretty much, like, your brain cannot taste and smell things the way it's supposed to be, which is so weird. And it can cause, like, a lot of really big issues that include, like, nausea, and actually, like, a lot of people, like, anytime they eat or smell things, they're now, like, having to throw up, literally, which is, like, simple things. Like, I watched this girl, and she was like, I'm eating things that, like, other people with this have said they can eat, and she was, like, tasting a pretzel, and she literally had to leave the camera because, like, the taste and smell of like, just the smell alone of a pretzel made her nauseous, which is so weird. And, like, one of the big things she said is that she constantly feels like she smells smoke.
Oh,
like, she
weird.
Feels like she is smelling a fire, and she's been, like, freaked out about it because she's mm-hmm. like, oh my god, is there a fire nearby? But there's no fire, it's a problem with your olfactory senses.
Yeah, so for me, and the virus that I had, which was not COVID, and I feel like COVID is just, like, a beast of its own, and nobody even knows right now, but for me, my virus had gone to my brain, and what it's called is, the acronym is ADEM, A-D-E-M, but, it's called Acute Disseminated Encephalomyelitis.
Yep, that.
I can not pronounce that last word. Anyway, so it had caused white matter, and, like, mm-hmm. I'm almost 4 years out from my initial, like, when I first Laps. Got sick.
Yeah.
And so,
which they want to watch it. To make
yeah.
Sure you don't
so
relapse,
the neurologist, yeah, the
relate
neurologist.
To MS.
Mm-hmm, so the neurologist said that it's only an edema as long as I make it, like, supposedly the first, if I can make it a full 5 years without a relapse and more white matter on my brain, then it's not something that we need to look into as far as multiple sclerosis. But I really there. I just feel like there's not very much studies done on Epstein-Barr virus and then the long-term effects on that. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. But that apparently was, for the neurologist, like a major sign that I needed to have a brain MRI, because apparently when a virus goes to your brain, shit starts to smell funky and smoky.
So weird.
I thought it was me. I was like, is this my new smell?
It's thing. You're like, oh my god, my sweat smells like smoke.
Funk and smoke.
My sweat smells like a Chick-fil-A on fire. Yeah, no, it's interesting the way, like, you have no idea how a virus is going to affect your body, because it is one of those things where it is, there's nothing to stop it, and it can go anywhere.
And there's which is terrifying. No way, really, there's no way to treat a virus. Like, they can quote-unquote treat it, I guess. There's but they're really,
antivirals, but...
But they really don't have...
Yeah, that's why COVID is so scary, because you have no idea how it's going to impact your body, and there's no way to stop it.
And you have no idea, like, able-bodied people out there, you have no idea what it could do to someone that has pre-existing already...
conditions.
Yes. Yeah. And so that is why I think a lot of us are really concerned, and I'm so grateful for the vaccine and so thankful. But it was a really scary year, and I think people need to take that into account when they're dealing with someone that has anything pre-existing, whether you're a family member or a friend. Like, please be gentle with that person, and don't be rude, and don't treat them like they're overreacting, because they don't know what that virus could do to their body, because a virus is very dangerous.
Yeah. And I feel like so many people get, like, random viruses all the time. Like, you always hear about, like, oh, yeah, like, I just had, like, a viral whatever.
Yeah.
But it's serious. And we've personally experienced a virus really affect our body in a way.
Permanently.
Yeah, in a way that's permanent. And in a way that has honestly changed our entire lives.
Yeah.
So it's important, and it's really big.
Yeah. Any other symptoms?
Yeah, you know what? I have one special symptom that's really joyful. So once a month, a woman gets something called a period.
A flow?
Aunt Flo comes to town.
Oh.
And instead of
what
having...
What is that like? What do you do?
It's like hell, but inside.
Okay.
and it comes out.
Ew, what?
So, instead of having a normal period, like most ladies, not like most ladies, actually a lot of ladies have really painful, terrible periods, but something special that my body has decided to curate is something called cystitis. So every month before, the week before my period, the week of my period, and a little bit in the week after just for fun.
So basically you have a week off in between.
I have what I like to call ghost UTIs. So this means I
have... Okay, talk about these, because these are real, and people have no idea. And then you talk about it, and people are like, oh my gosh, I know someone that's had that.
So... For my doctors, at least, they did not agree with me. They were like, nope, nope, I've never heard of this.
There are no ghosts.
That's not real.
Ghosts, no.
Ghosts aren't real. Aliens aren't real. You're wrong. So I have what I like to lovingly call ghost UTIs. For me, that pretty much means that I have the pain of a UTI and the urgency of a UTI, but I test negative for a UTI.
Cool.
It's really fun. It is called cystitis. It pretty much means that you have bladder irritation for unknown reasons. For some people, it has to do with your bladder contracting. And for some, it's just the swelling in your body or inflammation.
Inflammation, the worst.
Yeah. And if you have chronic illness, you know the word inflammation super well. But pretty much every month when I have my period, I also get a ghost UTI. So the way we've combated that is I'm on estrogen. And I just completely stop my period, which has worked pretty okay. I still will randomly have cystitis pain just because.
I am on the opposite end of that spectrum. I have tried to get on different birth controls, and oh my god. Instead of ghosting, I'm like demoning. I'm like vexing and like
demon period.
I was like demon human. I was like, forget it. I can't do this anymore. I am like the evil queen.
Yeah.
It's terrible. So
yes.
It's different for everyone.
It's different from everyone. Yeah, but pretty much just a UTI for 3 weeks every month. It's really a good time. I dealt with that for probably like 2 years, and went to a couple of different OBGYNs, and then it was actually my GP that ended up finding the medication that was going to work for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a while to find what was going to work. I did this god-awful exam, and if you've had this, you know.
Oh, yes.
It's called
Medieval Torture.
What's it called?
I don't know.
Your analysis. I had your analysis.
Your analysis.
Who are you calling your analysis? And so, to put it simply, they stick a stick.
You have to get in the chair.
Yeah. It's called Throne, Jessica.
Well, okay. Whatever.
So it's this lovely throne that's about 5 feet up in the air. They put a bucket under you. And there's a nice big hole in the chair.
I'm telling you, it is like medieval.
It is. It looks like a medieval torture device. You wear a pretty gown, and you get up on your throne.
Oh.
And there's a hole in the butt.
But no crown.
And there's a hole where your butt goes. Mm. No crown, unfortunately. But they did play some nice music.
Oh, okay. Like water flowing, so you feel like you have to pee?
Yes, ma'am.
No.
Yes, they did.
Oh, my God.
So they put you up on that throne. They stick a tube in your pee hole, which, by the way, so she was like, I'm just going to stick my finger in your coccyx.
Excuse me?
And that's what I said. Excuse me? And she was like, I'm just going to stick my finger in your coccyx, and I'm going to put a little tube in here, and that's just going to see how your muscles contract. And I was like, okay. And she put it in, and then when she pulled her fingers out, fingers plural, when she pulled her fingers out, I immediately started apologizing. I was like, I'm so sorry. And she was like, no, you're okay, you didn't poop, that was just my fingers coming out.
I just pooped out your fingers.
I was like, I'm so sorry. Yeah, so that was a weird experience. They fill your bladder with saline and that stuff that they put in your IV to light up your body. They put the same stuff in your bladder so that...
We just talked about this. Oh, my gosh. What is it
called? Yeah, with Paige. Dye? I don't know.
Yeah.
So they put that in your bladder, and then they take x-rays to see how your bladder fills up.
This is making me have to pee right now, and I just went to the bathroom.
So they fill your bladder up, and then comes the fun part. While you're 5 feet in the air, you have to pee into the bucket that's below you, which doesn't sound hard, but it's incredibly hard when there's two doctors staring at you.
Yeah. So they couldn't, like, turn their backs. They needed to watch
this? They needed to watch you.
Can't you record it and, like, slow-mo it later if you need to? Like, do you have to watch
well,
me?
Well, the thing is, they were taking x-ray.
Put a teddy bear camera
the
in
thing
there.
Is, they're taking... So there's an x-ray machine in front of you, and they're x-raying you as you pee.
So they're like, are they like, hold it, x-ray, hold it, x-ray?
No, the idea is they want to see how your body releases your muscles, like, contract and move, to make sure that your body's doing everything it needs to do and make sure that your bladder is not spasming, because that is a common cause of chronic UTIs and cystitis. So I couldn't pee, obviously, because there's two doctors staring at me, and I'm sitting 5 feet up in the air trying to pee into a bucket. So she put on water music.
Oh, my gosh.
Which made things worse, in my personal opinion. But I did finally pee. And then I had a UTI for 3 days straight.
yeah, that seems like it could easily induce that.
Yeah, it caused immense pain, but
it gave me no... It almost sounded like you said, it caused immense pain. I was like, what? That's immense pain.
Yeah, you know how when your husband gets sick and he acts like he's on his deathbed?
That's immense pain.
It was terrible. And then we learned nothing from it. So that was fun. I found out that my bladder doesn't spasm, or at least it didn't while we took it. They wanted to do another one, and I said, hell no. We just kind of moved on and tried some other medications and found kind of a good mix that worked for me. But even though there's like no information on this, like I did a lot of googling and trying to figure out why I was having like UTI pain with no UTI specifically around my period, and I could find nothing. Like, it was so frustrating, but it's real. And I experience it, and I'm sure a lot of other women experience it.
Yeah, so if you're being ghosted by a UTI, just know.
Just know. It's called cystitis, and just, if your doctor says it's not real, punch him in the face.
Yeah.
It is real. So, that's a fun thing that I experience.
Yeah. another one. Skin sensitivity, like we've talked about this before, like super sensitive nerve endings, whether it be like on your arm or your leg, and like you touch it and it's like paper sensitive or burns or whatever, that's super weird.
Our dad's one of those people who, like, if he's standing next to you, he'll rub your back,
and sometimes if you have that, it's like
he'll like stand next to me or Jessica or mom or whatever, and obviously it's fine for my mom, but for me and Jessica, he'll just like keep rubbing the same place, and like
obnoxiously
after like four rubs you're like, okay, my skin feels like it's raw, can you please stop?
Obviously joint pain, like seriously. Yeah. Shooting, we all know her. Throbbing, pulled, twisted joint, whatever, muscle pain. Skin rashes for sure. Yeah, had that.
I have a rash on my neck. No.
And in your armpits, don't forget about those.
Oh yeah, my armpits. Super fun.
Yeah, just like super weird skin, hair, scalp, whatever stuff. I think like the worst for me right now that's like really been difficult is teeth. Ugh. Nobody tells you about, especially like Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, like, and teeth, and also depending on whatever medication you're on and your teeth, like, oh my gosh, nobody tells you about how hard that is on your teeth or what to expect. It's like a doctor, I think, just thinks like, oh, I'm a doctor of the body, and like the teeth has so much to do with your body, but nobody ever tells you that.
Also, like, all the medications they put you on ruins your teeth. Dry mouth. It ruins your teeth.
Bad for your bones, like, whatever.
It's very frustrating.
It's super.
It's like everything that's supposed to help you also will help your symptoms, but also ruin you in the long term. It will ruin your gut. It'll ruin your teeth.
Because one of the medications that we're both on, we have to do like a bone density check after 5 years being on it, which I'm like, I mean, I want to like be able to stand up and stuff. Well, yeah, it's really hard to
sometimes
walk.
Balance, it's just like, too, so like the exhausting. And, so yeah. I will have days where it's like standing up feels like climbing a mountain. Yeah. Like,
that is one of the things that we were supposed to travel last summer really far, and that was one of the things that my doctor...
Really far.
So, like, I'm just thinking, like there could have been, like, you know, plane changes and stuff like that. And so that was one of the things that my doctor was like, you're going to get a wheelchair, and you're going to have to do this, like, when you're going from place to place. Like, you need to conserve your energy as much as possible, and this is what you're going to do. So frustrating, I think, when, like,
you look normal.
Yeah, you don't look ill, but you are. And it's, like, people are so rude. I try so hard, and I kind of, like, get annoyed with myself that I do this sometimes, but I get so paranoid, like, using my handicap placard when I'm having just like a really shit day.
Oh yeah.
Because you have had so many stories of people verbally attacking you in front of a in front of like anywhere because you're using your handicap placard.
I've had multiple times. I had a guy literally like stalk me in a grocery store, follow me out to my car, and then like stand behind my car so that I couldn't move my car and I had to call the police. Literally a couple weeks ago, I had a lady come up to me at CVS and she was like, "Why are you parked there?" She was like, "I just think it's interesting you're parked there because it's a handicap spot." And I was like, "Actually, ma'am, this is my favorite thing to do."
Good for you.
I'll be like, "Actually, I have postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, hydronephrosis." And like I go down the list. I'll be like, "Mast cell activation disorder." And I say it as fast as I can. And she just like rolled her eyes and walked away. But I was like,
"It's not your business. Are you the handicap placard police?" I don't think so.
It's not your business. Ooh. It's not your business. And it just, like, you never know what a person's dealing with.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. Like, you never know what a person's dealing with. But, yeah, no, it's just
all the symptoms.
All the symptoms and things that you don't really think about. Like, how much more difficult it is to travel and how much more difficult it is to have a regular job and...
Or, like... people are not obligated to explain to you why they're freaking using a handicap placard or why they freaking need to sit down somewhere. Like, that is not your business.
It's no one's business but the person who has it, you know? It's already hard enough. Like, it was really cool because when we first got diagnosed, our neurologist, we were kind of talking to him about, like, how can we make it so that we can live a life where we can be independent? Because it's hard. I've been struggling with that for like the last 3 years because I'm almost 22 and I want to be independent, of course, but it's really hard. And I depend on my mom's assistance a lot of the time. And so, there's things that you do as someone chronically ill to make your life just a little bit easier because your life's already so difficult. So if a handicap placard helps you, use it. If a walker helps you, cool, use it. It's nobody else's business. Why? And it doesn't matter what you look like. Your feelings are completely valid. And yeah. It's hard to remember that sometimes.
And if you're an able-bodied person, it's not your job to question that.
Period, poo.
Yeah. Soapbox moment for the day. Anyways, everyone, we hope you ills stay chills.
And stay alive.
Woo! Bye!
Thanks for listening. If you want to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, all of the things, they are linked below in the show notes. And we can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Bye. Bye.